Today's guest is attorney Kelly Richardson, co-founder partner of Richardson Ober. And I met him because for a few years he was doing videos for our brokerage on fair housing and educational requirements. So he was kind enough to come on the program, I think 2 years ago. His office is general counsel for five associations of realtors in Southern California. They do a lot of homeowners association work, HOAs. And he used to have a column appearing in the Santa Barbara News Press, but the Santa Barbara News Press stopped publishing all columns. He's based in Pasadena. Sometimes his quote is, "I never see my clients or visit their property." So he can cover the state and do consultations all over California. I really enjoy talking to him. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, attorney Kelly Richardson.
Thanks, Mark. So nice to be back.
Great. You always come to the table with interesting stories, and one of them is a CTA, a Corporate Transparency Act. It sounds like the emperor has no clothes. Well, what is the Corporate Transparency Act?
Well, in 2021, Congress passed this law called the Corporate Transparency Act, authorizing a division of the United States Treasury Department that we call short FinCEN. I think it's a Financial Investigations Center is what it stands for, to require all non-exempt corporations in the United States of America to register their beneficial owner information, BOI. And the deadline for that originally by the statute was this December 31st, 2024. The statute requires all non-exempt corporations, and there are hundreds of thousands of them that are non-exempt, to file information directly with the federal government, a special website that FinCEN set up, to basically your control group, so your board of directors, anybody who owns 25% or more of the corporation, is supposed to basically provide this identification data to the government. And the stated purpose of all this is to somehow help them catch money laundering enterprises. And I don't claim to know exactly how they use this information to do that, but that's the stated purpose. And nobody paid any attention to it, like most things, in 2021 or 2022 or even 2023. But now that it's the deadline year, this spring, everybody woke up across the country, the legal community, the accounting community, the management community. And so everybody has been scrambling the last 6 months, figuring out if they have to comply and what to do if they do need to comply.
And this is non-exempt corporations, and there are hundreds of thousands of them. Treasury Department requiring them to register and what did you call them? The BO?
Yeah, beneficial ownership information. So either large people who own large chunks of a corporation, or the control group, essentially typically the board of directors, those people have to file their identity information with the federal government officially before the end of this year. That's the original deadline.
Interesting. I know traditionally, I don't know much about corporations, but I know like a lot of corporations almost shield individuals. So this kind of goes against that whole philosophy.
Well, it kind of does. I mean, large corporations, publicly traded corporations, they have other filing requirements with SEC and they're exempt. Purely nonprofit corporations are exempt. What's interesting is that at the beginning of this year, the legal and accounting community, we were all kind of in an uproar and we were divided nationally on whether homeowner associations were exempt or not. And FinCEN resolved that, I think, in March or April this year, and specifically said, no, HOAs are not exempt if they are incorporated or registered in any way with their state jurisdiction. They have to register their beneficial owners. Associations of realtors. I have a handful of my association realtor clients that were getting ready to register their information with FinCEN.
So,
and of course,
let me interrupt. On his face, I'm going, All right, so what's the big deal? So you have a corporation, you have board of directors, you register with the Treasury Department. On its face, it doesn't sound ominous. What makes it, why did people get concerned?
Well, I think I've heard of two or three concerns. I think the first concern is people are worried about putting identity information out there with the federal government. I think there's sort of a reflexive resistance to that. I think another concern is the administrative hassle, and that the violation, I think, is $500 $500 a day, and there's an inflation. So I think FinCEN says the penalty is now up to about $581 or $591 a day that you're found in violation. So I think those are some of the concerns. I will tell you that the more I looked into this, the more I felt that the concerns about identity theft or insecurity of the information probably are not well-founded. Because think about all the information, Mark, the federal government has on you and me right now. Our income, our healthcare information, our taxes, our travel outside the country, heck, our travel inside the country with TSA records. The requirement of information to be filed under the TSA is really pretty minimal. You go online, and it's free, and you get issued an ID number, which I've done for myself already as well. And you have to give them your name, your address, your birth date, and your American state driver's license or your American passport number. And then the last thing is they want you to upload an image of that United States or a driver's license or a United States passport. And that's it. And what's interesting, Mark, is that there's been a cottage industry exploding over the United States in the last year of mostly accounting firms, but some other enterprising folks as well. HOA management companies, many of them are now offering this as a service to their clientele for hundreds of dollars a year. What I find fascinating about that, if I may, is first, these businesses are charging people to do something that they can do themselves for free. And secondly, the people that are concerned about identity theft, I would query, why are they giving that information to a third-party non-governmental organization? That's just adding another link in the chain that could possibly break. So my client base, to the extent that people listen to me and in my newspaper column, I suggested that everybody just file the information directly. Now, there's a huge asterisk, and we're probably going to talk about that in a minute.
Now, my guest, Attorney Kelly Richardson, I joked that you used to publish a column in the Santa Barbara News Press, which sadly is not here any longer. If someone wanted to read some of your columns, I'll post your website link on the podcast at RadioRealEstate.com. But is there any other address you want to give out?
Oh, of course. Yeah, my Homeowner Association column webpage is very simple. It's just HOAHomefront.com. And that has current columns, past columns, and people can subscribe for free and get the columns on every Tuesday.
HOAHomefront.com. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let all my clients and real estate friends who are involved in HOAs, they should all just tap into that. When you were describing third-party entities coming across to charge something they can do for free, it reminds me of my trademark that I trademarked Radio Real Estate back in about 20 years ago. And I do get these letters from third parties that make it sound like they're from the trademark office, and they're not. And it's always misleading, and they're always going to want to charge you. In your situation, you know, they're asking for personal information, so that makes it worse. How does this relate to HOAs? Apparently, they're non-exempt.
Yes, correct. The only homeowner associations that are exempt is if they are not incorporated and they have not registered in any way with their particular state. Now, in California, we do have a significant number of usually smaller and usually older associations that are unincorporated. What's interesting, though, is that there is a statute in the Davis-Sterling Act that requires all associations to register with the California Department of Corporations, the Secretary of State, and even if they're not incorporated. And there's really no penalty for not doing that. But if a unincorporated association has registered with the Secretary of State, Department of Corporations, then boom, they become non-exempt as well. So the vast majority of homeowner associations, and frankly, most associations of realtors that I work with, are non-exempt and have to get this information on file, except we had this little bit of breaking news just 13 days ago in the form of a court injunction.
Oh, so people are fighting it, and so we don't know where it's going to land.
We don't.
Well, for now, it's suspended.
Correct. On December 3rd, a federal judge in Eastern Texas, United States District Court, issued a nationwide injunction against enforcing the Corporate Transparency Act. This is at least the third challenge around the country that I know of. An unsuccessful one was launched in Oregon. An unsuccessful one was launched in Virginia. This is the third one, and this one seems to have hit. The United States government, as you would expect, is appealing this. So we really don't have any idea if this is going to be permanent or if not, how long this injunction will last. But for the time being, folks that are worried about missing this December 31st deadline can relax because even FinCEN has posted on their website they're not going to be enforcing it until they get clarification from the court. Although they do add that corporations can, if they choose, voluntarily go ahead and submit their information and comply.
What do you think happens January 21st when there might be a new department head for the Treasury Department?
That's a great question. I wish I had a crystal ball that worked well enough to say what the Trump administration will do with this. I'm not aware of any statements as to what they intend to do with the Corporate Transparency Act. So I'm going to be like all of your listeners. I'm going to be holding my breath to see, you know, what happens. There's certainly the possibility that, for example, the new president could direct the Department of the Treasury to drop its appeal. And that would effectively end the enforcement of the CTA. And then we wouldn't talk about it anymore.
Well, then I'll have to make sure I never replay this broadcast. My guest is Kelly G. Richardson, co-founder and partner of Richardson Ober. Am I pronouncing Ober correctly?
You are.
And you have these vertical lines that I can't find on my keypad to type it. Between Richardson and Ober, you have a vertical line instead of a hash mark, just trying to be different. What I'd like to do, unless you have anything else to say, is I'd like to take an early commercial break. Are we done?
Oh yeah, I think it's a pretty narrow topic, and I just wanted to make sure your listeners were A, aware of the issue, but B, also that it's temporarily on hold.
Okay. Well, that, you know, for people who didn't know about it, now you know you don't have to worry about it for at least the time being. My guest, Attorney Kelly Richardson, he's based down in, is it Pasadena?
Yes.
Where do I see that? I thought I saw that somewhere. But he, you can contact him because he does business all over California, fair housing, homeowner associations, and associations of realtors. So, real estate related, and if you Google Richardson Ober, O-B-E-R, Richardson Ober, you'll get his website, and you can contact him. We'll take a break. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. There's another topic, electronic voting in 2024, not for political elections, but for homeowners association corporations, and I think Kelly might have a war story or two on that. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.